If you seriously think that you're not happy and you want different, you have to be willing to do different. You have to be willing to become different. That means you have to change, right? It's not about the world changing around you. It's about you changing in order to do life differently.
Welcome to Million Dollar Flip Flops, the podcast that invites you on a transformative journey to unlock the secrets of living life to the fullest. In this podcast, we dive deep into the minds of thought leaders, game changers, and business builders from around the world. If you're a business owner feeling trapped, overwhelmed, and longing for the time freedom you once dreamt of, this podcast is your beacon of hope. Buckle up, because here we go.
Where are you located?
I'm in the mountains in Rio Doce, New Mexico, on a ranch.
Okay. I'm in the mountains of Virginia. What major city are you by? Give me a...
Rio Doce, New Mexico. It's literally dead center New Mexico. It's the final and last ski resort in the United States.
Okay.
So the Rio Doce Horse Downs, the track is here. It's a small ski mountain town, I suppose, like about 10 or 12,000 maybe.
Okay. Yeah. I went to New Mexico for the first time.
Where? Where were you?
We did Albuquerque and Taos and...
Oh, yeah.
A little bit of Santa Fe, but
yep. I love Taos.
Oh, yeah. It was super neat.
Beautiful up there. Yeah. That's about 3.5 hours north of where I'm at.
Okay. Okay. Well, man, the show is super laid back. If you've listened to any episodes, it is just literally two people talking. So what's the deal? Who do you help? Why? Tell me a little bit and off we go.
Yeah, that sounds fantastic. And I love what you're doing with your business. Like, I loved the idea of what you were producing, what you were doing in terms of the journey of the entrepreneur. Where I fit into that journey is at the very, I guess at different stages, you know, with the show. So it's really exploring that intersection of fear and creativity and how it impacts our lives. And I had my own particular awakening that put me on this path. And now I've been trying to explore this with other entrepreneurs and people on the same journey, on the same path to success, and sharing that with the world. So I think we've got a lot in common to share. And I'm the Peaceful Warrior, which was really interestingly and surprising to me, but we'll get into that later when we'll talk about that result.
Where I caution people is go do it again and make sure you aren't answering what you want and not where you are.
Well, I think I emailed you about, because I was like, I've never started a business I did a long time ago, but not to this degree. And while I've worked with a lot of entrepreneurs in my life and I have built a career producing events and doing things for others and for entrepreneurs and large businesses and branding, I feel like as a 54-year-old, I have that wisdom of having done so much from 5 different careers across, 3 or 4 different industries, that I'm, now that I know exactly where I'm at and where I want to be and I know what my message is, I am in that peaceful warrior stage, but I also have that mentality of the excited, early stage entrepreneur going, I gotta get the message out, So if you're not infected by it, then something's not working, right?
Yeah, absolutely. That's why, I always say you need the first two, you want the last two, but we tend to get stuck in the middle and start all over.
Yeah.
So tell me more about, I want to hear a little bit of the history, kind of the events and the brand building and that kind of thing. But I'm more curious about the aha.
Well, okay. So this happens to a lot of us and stuff. You get laid off, and you're at this precipice, this moment in your life where you're like, the fuck, got to do something with my life, right? I got to figure out what I want to do now. And I had gone through a lifetime of being an entertainer, a performer, a producer. I had gone through my drug addiction. I'd gone through all those phases. I had come out the other side trying to rebuild my life and chase down what I thought success was supposed to be. Behave yourself, get clean, follow the rules, stick to the plan. Don't diverge, and don't keep going off the deep end, which was always my way. I was always a risk taker. I loved riding that edge of risk. And I thought, if I chased down what the world told me success looked like, and I stayed true to that, and I was good at it, I would be rewarded, and it would be fine. And at 53, 52, you know, I was laid off for this broadcast company that I worked for as the director of broadcast production and management. And I got them to launch worldwide, got them prepared, got them up on all the systems, all of their product, all their content, and everything, you know, that they wanted. Then they went, thanks, we don't need you anymore. And I was like, I am sick and tired of putting and pouring all of my energy, my creativity, my brilliance into other companies, only to be told at a certain point, they're done with me. It's like having a really bad relationship, you know, where you're just like, I literally pour my life into this person, you know, I'm going to be like, yeah, I'm just not interested in you anymore. And I thought, if I was going to rebuild myself, which I'd done multiple times, I'd gotten very good at it, at reinventing who I was, I had asked the universe and said, I want to have something that takes into consideration all of my career and skill sets. Like, I want something that I can use everything I've learned in 50 years of my life and apply it. I want to get back to using my voice on stage, performing. You know, that's where my heart was always when I was younger, and I really missed it. So is there a way for me to get that? And then third was to finally give back and have a massive impact. And all during this time period, while I'm living up here at the ranch, and I'm like, pulled my savings and everything and sold everything off and was like, let's just take some time off and journal, you know, do that thing. I was listening to a couple of podcasts on speaking, motivational speaking. I was listening to podcasts on making podcasts. I was listening to podcasts on a lot of different things, just getting educated and informed about a lot of different things. But it's interesting that almost all of them were saying, take what you know and turn it into what you love. Take what you experience and your skill sets and make that something that you give back. Teach that to other people. And I was like, what do I know that I can, you know, teach to other people? And during this time period, like, all of my friends and family and stuff are, you always land on your feet, you're fearless, you don't have any problem, blah, blah, blah. Like, I was, always thought it was lip service telling me, you know, just being nice, because they're like, it's hard to get through these things and you got to encourage your friends, you know? And they were like, no, this is what you do. Like, this is what you're good at. And I'm like, wait, I'm good at just reinventing myself every time there's a crisis. And they're like, yes. And so I sat down with each of these important people in my life and actually took him to lunch. And I was like, can you please tell me what it is you see? So while this was happening and while I'm getting this feedback from my friends and stuff and everybody about my life, it occurred to me that I deal with change, deal with life, deal with fear very differently than a lot of people do. And I began to examine that. I go back to my journals and then back to my life experiences and all the way back to my teenage years, back to, and some really effed up shit happened, you know, back then, that shaped how I approached life, and my response to it began then. I didn't realize I had set myself out for a set of patterns in dealing with crisis and tragedy and things like that. But I established a rapport, if you will, with fear and with challenges and obstacles that was like, you know what, whatever this is, I'm going to take it, turn it into something great. Like, I'm going to find some way to get through this. And my career in performing arts really afforded me the skill set of being a chameleon. I learned how to adapt and adopt very fast personas and skill sets and mindsets that fit the scenario so that I could deliver very quickly for whoever it was I was delivering it to, which fit very well into event production eventually, because giving the client what they needed in order to produce this event and handle all the chaos and the stress and everything became a skill set. And navigating from one massive event of chaos to another. And that year, I woke up in the middle of the night realizing that my relationship with fear was different. It was time to start examining that relationship and to find out where it began and what it was I was doing differently and if that was something I could offer other people. So fast forward to, I was like, well, I don't know, how am I going to begin this journey? And I thought, well, I know, I'll interview people about their fear. I'll interview other business people, entrepreneurs and stuff about fear in their lives, because that's something I know I can do, having done hundreds of red carpets, produced them and coordinated them and all these interviews, junkets and things like that back in my film festival days. It just came very natural for me to be on camera and to interview other people about their journey so I could get some experience and find out, you know, how do you interact? And then what I was discovering was that those of us who are entrepreneurs fit into this really interesting dynamic of individuals and personalities where fear is a very different catalyst for us than other people, where a lot of other people get frozen by it, may get stuck by it, may get paralyzed, if you will, by fear. I found that most entrepreneurs are challenged by it. They see it as an opportunity to be like, oh, what's happening? What's happening here? Let me just take a look at this. And that at those moments in our lives, when we do become paralyzed, it's usually because it's a part of ourselves we haven't examined yet. And we haven't gotten comfortable with that particular part of who we are, that vulnerable part of who we are. And this journey, this entire journey of becoming successful, as you know, and by the way, however you want to define that is up to you. But it's interesting, when we want to define ourselves as successful, we want to do, be, or have something different than what we are currently right now. And we've announced it to the universe and we want to step onto that path. And as soon as we do, that's when the challenges start happening. That's when the challenges come forth, challenging our personal, psychological, emotional behaviors, right? Everything about us, right? It's the gym for us, where we have to do the work in order to grow into that thing, that next version of ourselves that we want to become. And so getting to that space becomes a longer journey and one that requires a bit of introspection. And sometimes get lost in the business. You've said it. I've watched your program and stuff. It's so interesting how we can get so lost in the minutiae of the business part of what we think success means and forget that we are integral in that journey. And our growth is integral in that journey. And that every time that we do take on one of these things, we change. We change from who we were here to who we want to become. And we got to take a minute to recognize that we've adopted and adapted and we've changed. And our relationship to the world around us has too. And if we can be more introspective that way, be more authentic and genuine and compassionate with ourselves that way, I think not only can we be good entrepreneurs and business people, but we can also be good leaders and role models. And that is part of what I'm passionate about trying to share with this journey in the Fearless Road, is trying to help others see that you've got more there to give and stories to share with the world. And we're all on this journey at a different point along that path, right to the top of that mountain. Each little step that we take is a reward and should be recognized for its value on our journey. And so here I am, you know, I made the decision a year ago that I was going to launch the podcast, that I was going to launch my motivational speaking business on Making For Your Friend, that I was going to launch my coaching and consulting business. And here I am going into 2024 and it's happening. And I've taken my mess and turned it into a message. And starting to discover how it really resonates with so many people out there. You know, the journey and the relationship with fear is such a unique and interesting thing. And I call it Making Fear Your Friend because I feel like fear's gotten a really bad rap. And I feel like we apply the term fear to so many things it really shouldn't be applied to. Anxiety, stress, self-doubt, you name it, any of those things, right? I feel like let's give it a different term and let's really honor what that is for us in our experience rather than just painting it with a wide brush of fear when it's not. And especially if you begin to identify it differently, you can begin to use it as a tool or a guide or fuel and a catalyst for really impactful change. So does that answer your question?
And we're out.
And that's my dead duck.
Man, I mean, obviously so much there resonates. I mean, I recognize that as soon as we connected on, you know, just looking at each other's profiles, right? On Podmatch.
Yeah.
And you're 1,000% right on the fear side of things. And I've been looking at this idea of shadow work and just kind of the emotional spectrum a lot just in the last couple of weeks, and taking anything that happens and it doesn't feel neutral in the moment. It should, right? Because the only thing is what we assign to it. There is no positive or negative thing. Yes. It's just what we assign
correct
to it.
But value.
Trying to develop those tools just in myself. This isn't even necessarily something I teach, but so that anything that happens, I'm looking at what were the 10 good and 10 bad things. So if it's a good thing that happens, well, what were the 10 bad things to make the good neutral, make the bad neutral? You know, well, if this is taking too long, it's not going to get, you know, my journal, the $1 million Flip Flops journal was supposed to release yesterday. It's not going to make it out on time. well, what's the good of that? Well, it's better. It's going to be better because it's taking longer. You know, just trying to counteract that. Hey, gang. I hope you're enjoying today's episode. Normally, this is where you'd be asked to buy something or go download some lead magnet. Not here. You may or may not know that we are on a mission to change 1 million entrepreneurs' lives with this podcast, the book, the journal, and more. And through our foundation, we want to send 1 million kids on life-changing trips. After all, 100% of our profits are donated from everything we do. Here is where you come in. If you're enjoying today's episode, and I hope you are, it likely made you think of someone who needs to hear it. Pause me right now, I'll wait, and share the episode with them. It's the only way we can impact as many business owners as possible, and you never know whose life you could change. Now back to the show. So, man, I could go on for days about everything you said, but so what? Who is your specific person that you're targeting? You know, and certainly in coaching, you can help everybody. But if you help everybody, nobody hears your message.
Exactly. I am targeting business people and entrepreneurs. Two classes. One is the business person and entrepreneur who wants to start or is aspiring to start their businesses. It's this early journey of understanding what it takes to put everything you have into the idea that you love, right? And embark on that path. And so what I do is the people I bring on the show speak to that journey. The people listening are the people who are either starting the journey or currently on that journey. And they want to know that they're A, not alone, B, that there's some insights, tips, and tricks and advice that they could glean from this about, I'm not stuck where I think I'm stuck. I'm actually building the blocks of my foundation. And these obstacles are my opportunities to look at ways that I can improve myself as a business person. The other side of it is in the corporate world, which is taking a look at fear as a catalyst for change and authenticity. One of the things that I have on my mission statement on the wall is about authenticity being my guide. One of the things that I've learned, it's so fascinating. One of the things I've always held on to is authenticity. I've always fought for my authenticity. And it started when I was 14. That was when I, you know, like stood in front of a mirror with tears in my eyes and was, you know, determined that I didn't care who was going to beat me up and who was going to pick on me or whatever the life was going to deal me. If it was going to be shitty and hard, it was going to be on my terms kind of a thing. It was like, I'm not going to live my life for anybody else. I'm not going to live a lie. I'm going to live my truth. And if people don't like it, that's fine. They don't have to. I'm not even asking your permission to like who I am and how I live my life, but step out of my way because this is how I'm going to live and this is what I'm going to do. And I don't know where that strength came from. Probably, you know, the Lord. But it was interesting because recently a person from high school reached out to me on Facebook and said, you know, I've always had mad respect for you and really thought so highly of you. And I said, wow, that's so fascinating. In high school, I thought it was a freaking geek. You know what I mean? Such a dork. And I was like, what was it that you respected so much? What was it that resonated with you? I'd love to know. And he said, your authenticity. It didn't matter what anybody said or did to you. You told them you were going to be authentic to yourself and you didn't care. And I thought, wow, I had no idea I was impacting someone that long ago, right? And here I am at this point in my journey. So one of the things that I feel like corporations and companies are being asked to do is develop these safe spaces, these good work environments, these healthy workspaces, right? Where you can get more out of your employees. They can feel safe and comfortable. They'll return to work happy. Everyone's more productive. But what that means for a company is that they have to be authentic. Well, you can't be authentic if you don't identify that you have a soul and a purpose, right? Without that, you're just a statement. You're just a series of words. And how do you execute on that? Now, at the top of all of this, you've got corporate leadership who, for the last 40 years, if you've been anybody like us, you were told to leave your authenticity at the door. You were told to leave your feelings, your family, and all your bullshit at the door and don't bring it in, right? How are they supposed to lead by authenticity with a company whose strategy, purpose, and mission don't carry forward to authentic behavior and actions within the company culture and then out into the world? And then how do employees behave in a way that is authentic? All of those questions bring up fears. All of that movement and change bring up fear in a way that I feel like the Fearless Road, we can help talk about the 4S of making fear your friend, and then bring workshops and bring opportunities, one-on-one coaching, things like that to these organizations to help them figure out ways to create ongoing processes and programming inside their institutions and organizations that talk about this, that address this, and define a better soul, a better picture for themselves. You know what I mean? About who they want to be. It's a journey. It's definitely a journey. It isn't something that you're just one workshop on a weekend and it's done. It is an ongoing commitment by a company and a corporate culture in order to constantly keep your finger on the pulse of what's happening so that you can stay true to honoring your commitments to your employees and same with your employees to the company. So,
yeah, the people just, they got lost in the equation. You know, and it's,
of course,
it's what we talk about with the WAVES method. Like you ask any business owner, do you have a business, you know, mission statement? Of course they do. And then you ask them if they have a personal mission statement, or we call it a statement of purpose, and about 2%. So how do you know the thing you're building is going to support you as a person? You don't, you know, until you do that work. And it's no different for a big corporate behemoth. It's the exact same thing.
Yes. And I think that, okay, so adding to that, all of the training modules that we have or had in place about how to build your business model, about how to create your strategy, about how to create your mission statement, none of that ever included your purpose, a personal, do you know what I'm saying? It was all business and sales strategy and marketing strategy and sort of like mission driven from that standpoint. Like I want these widgets to sell, blah, 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 and have this kind of impact, but not really from a holistic standpoint, let alone a cultural impact, right? Both internal and external cultural impact. And now with social media, being held accountable for who you are as a business to the world is so much greater and so much easier for our customers, our clients, and our employees to do. We have to start thinking of it. We have to start living it. And so I think facing those challenges, you probably have a lot of new clients and people coming to you who are like, well, I don't know how to begin to step into this role of leadership when I don't know who I am in the company. Like, I don't know how to be this leader for them when I've left all of me out of it for years. Now I have to bring me in. It's like therapy to a certain degree, right? We're changing the dynamic of what it means to be a wholly responsible a company and an idea, a business. And as solopreneurs and entrepreneurs, we have to bear in mind that we are the ones on the cutting edge of creating new markets, new business models, new opportunities, new work environments, bro. That question needs to be answered before you even hit go.
1,000%, 1,000%. You know, it's like everything you say, there's so much I want to unpack and talk about. Like this could be a 12 hour long show, but it's.
Well, I haven't spoken for 2 weeks because I've been sick in bed. So this is probably what's like all coming out of me.
You know, we call it right map, wrong mountain. And it's, you've been following this path that was supposed to lead to success and happiness and fulfillment and all the things. And you get to the top and you followed all the rules and then you realize you were on the wrong mountain the whole time.
Yes.
And if you do this work before you ever press go, before the green light, before you open the doors to your first customer, you're figuring out who you want to be on the other side of it. Your business is better. It's better for the customers. It's better for your family. It's better for everybody involved. You know, it's not this woo-woo esoteric thing. It makes for better business and more money and more time and all the trinkety material things that we get the scraps down here when you focus on that thing up here.
Well, I think it is about redefining success. I think we've been failed. I think success, the way that America has defined it, corporate America has defined success for us on our behalf, by the way, come to work for us. You can have that house and that car and da-da-da, all these things, right? All this marketing and advertising telling you the things you think you need in that American dream. Bullshit. It is time to lay waste to that entire concept and rebuild and redefine what success means for you, the individual. By knowing and understanding what it is that drives you, the individual, and really, really defines success for you, right? then you can commit to whatever work environment, workspace, and job space and career space you want to, coming from that knowledge. Without it, you're committing to everybody else out there as something that's empty, right? That's not ready. And when you do, you're providing, you're going to quit, you're going to get fired, you're going to get laid off. It's not going to be good. It's going to be inconsistent. If we all started at the heart of the gold, the goose who laid the golden egg, right? If we're taking care of that goose and we know how to define that for ourselves, then when we go apply for a job, we're not applying for work that doesn't suit us. We're not applying for a company environment that doesn't align with our values. We're applying and working for and working towards corporate companies and cultures and businesses that fit our definition of what success means. And because of that, when we start to achieve inside that framework, we feel better about the work that we're doing. They get better work from us as a result, and everyone begins to benefit. Now, if all of us did this together as a society, what have you, and we reframed what success means by allowing people to actually define it for themselves, you know, I think we'd see a big shift in society. I think that's what's being asked of us today. And I think that's what we're seeing right now. There's a big push pull, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I consider myself fortunate, and it wasn't fortunate in that time, but you know, I grew up with nothing, and then 24 years old, making more money than I knew what to do with, and was absolutely miserable and anxious and depressed and thought about suicide, you know, and then that's the pure definition of a wrong mountain. You know, I was at the top and I was young. And being able to redefine what success meant to me at that point in my life, and not being 40, 50, 60 years old, or the Ivan Illich quote I always have where, you know, he's on his deathbed and says, what if my whole life was wrong?
Yeah.
You know, I consider myself fortunate that for the last 20 years, you know, could I have made an extra 10, 20, $30 million? Absolutely. But I've been to 60 countries. I've got to hold my mom's hand for 2 weeks before she died. I've had so many experiences that I wouldn't have otherwise. I haven't set an alarm in 10 years. I don't have notifications on my phone. That's success to me.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not just zeros in the bank, you know? So it's I think we are done. You tried to say it earlier. Now I'm gonna have trouble saying it. We are done a disservice by society. Yeah. And you said it perfectly, you know, their definition of success given to us by them, for them, really.
Yes. And I think it starts with the idea of conforming as kids, conforming to grades, conforming to dress, conforming to fit in and be accepted by others, which, by the way, you know, I mean, Brene Brown points this out in such a great, wonderful way. You know, our desire to be accepted is part of the reason why we mask who we are for so many years. In fact, recently, a really interesting interview on NPR. There was a Broadway show that opened up recently with neurodiverse performers, and this whole idea of neurodiversity, which is this, you know, that the people's brains operate very differently and they could be on a spectrum of neurodiversity, but all the cast was neurodiverse. And one of the things they talked about was how they mask normalcy in front of other normal people so that they could appear normal by learning certain phrases and certain things. And I learned this from what they were doing. I learned from code switching from my African-American friends who learned a code switch in front of non-African-American people in order to fit or whatever. And I was like, we've actors have been doing this for years where we just go into a room, or we call it read the room, and then become the thing that you want because you want to get cast. You want to be accepted. You want to get the job, right? And I think back and I look at it and I go, we've all been learning to mask some part of ourselves for so long that if we reach that point where we look back and suddenly we go, I don't know if I know who I am in this scenario anymore. And if I don't know who I am, then what am I bringing to the table anymore, right? And I think that's part of it, is we've all been attempting to mask versions of ourselves, and it's time to unmask. It's time to like take that off, to invite the real you into the room, to the boardroom, to the table, to the conversation, whatever it is. But we have to be genuine about that and careful, because when we do, right, vulnerability begins. That's exactly that. That's it. Vulnerability is the space and the place. That's where creativity, love, and ingenuity and all that starts from, that beautiful space of being vulnerable and authentic. Well, if we truly want what's on the other side of that, right, which is brilliance, which is creativity, which is light, which is art, right? All these incredible things could happen. then we have to be caretakers of that space. We have to be caretakers of that dialogue. And we have to be very careful about when we invite people to be vulnerable and authentic, that we're not judging them based on old paradigms and old thought patterns and old ideas about what we thought success would look like or what we thought the person should be or do or say or anything like that. You know, these biases, these even the ones that are unspoken and ones that we don't know about ourselves, right, could hinder us on our road to success at adopting and adapting to a new idea about authenticity and vulnerability in the world, in business, period, right? Where do we keep it safe, you know, and invited, but also get work done, right? It's a balance game, and it's an interesting space to be in. And I see, in fact, I'm doing an event March 1st that I'm producing called Leadership Navigator 2024, which I'll be hosting quarterly, working with leadership set of panelists to talk about what leadership means, both from a diversity inclusivity standpoint, from leadership and mentorship, from the digital marketing branding space, and exploring those dialogues even further to ask the questions and create a roadmap for 2024 on what it looks like. So that's part of what I'm doing on my side of the fence, which is like exploring it. You know what I mean? I get to ask the questions. I don't have all the answers, but I do enjoy asking the questions.
Yeah, you're here. It is very much needed. You know, all of that is very much needed. You know, I've got one, we're getting kind of close to time, but I've got one last question that I want to sneak in. And that is, I in particular work with entrepreneurs because I've been one for 20 plus years. And so that's my magic, right? I can lend a lot just from a consultancy side, but because we're uniquely able to change our situation quickly. And what I hear, we'll say from the others, and that happens to be who you work with, is, well, it must be nice. You know, the term must be nice drives me nuts, by the way. It's like, yeah, it was nice to work my ass off 80 hours a week for years and years and years so that I could have the things I want. Yeah, it was. But the corporate person who feels stuck, like that limiting, they have their own limiting belief about why they can't change. I see it with more seasoned business owners that are, you know, they've had a roofing company for 25 years. Reinventing that so that they have a better life seems like turning around the Titanic, you know? So what do you say to that person?
Well, I would agree with you that it's time to examine your limiting beliefs. One of the things actually in one of the sessions of the event is examining perceived and actual barriers to success, right? Whether that's the glass ceiling or whether that's barriers we place on ourselves because we think others are keeping us from succeeding, right? Or stepping away and stepping out of the comfort zone we created for ourselves, the idea of success and what this means. And I've committed so many years to this career and I get a paycheck. And one of the things, interestingly enough, we were just talking the other day, was about how our health insurance is tied to our job. And because of that, we are shackled and held hostage by a career position because it means good health insurance for us and our family. Like if health insurance was independent and it wasn't tied to our job, we wouldn't stay at places we hated for so long simply because it covered our health insurance. That part, it's not right. It doesn't work, right? So for those individuals, it's going to take a long examination of what you really want in order for you to change where you are. If you seriously think that you're not happy and you want different, you have to be willing to do different. You have to be willing to become different. That means you have to change, right? It's not about the world changing around you. It's about you changing in order to do life differently, in order to approach the obstacles and the opportunities that are coming your way. By the way, if you step out of that zone, if you're ready to move on from corporate and go independent, become a solo entrepreneur, you will be met with a whole new set of challenges from the universe to fit that set of criteria. It's rewarding if you do the work. But it requires a sacrifice. It requires sacrificing the comfort of the now for the potential of the future. That's anything we do as individuals, especially as business people and entrepreneurs, is sacrificing the comfort of what's known now for the potential of what we want in the future.
Yeah. The that's the number one reason people don't start jobs and or don't start their own business. I'm sure you know that. And it's health insurance. And I go, well, if you spent 40 or 50 hours a week working on your own thing, do you think you could make an extra $1,000 or $2,000 a month? Well, yeah. Well, then you just bought health insurance. Like, I don't understand what the, it's
and
a number.
By the way, when do you think you will do it? Would you want to wait till you're 50 years old to start a new business and then get health insurance? Or would you rather do it when you're in your 30s? Because by the way, in your 30s, you're probably more likely to be healthy and not have problems and really grind that stone down, right?
Yeah.
Then get health insurance. Like, trust me, you can do it. There's a way. You'll make it. But it's
same thing with 401k. I mean, all of it. Benefits are just a number. They're all just a number. And
they are a perceived level of success, right? We think by having these things, we're safe, we're good, we're successful. Scratch it. Get that out of your head. Stop looking at the paradigm that you've been fed all this time and rewrite what success looks like. And if that includes a year of sacrificing in order to get to that place where you can have good health insurance or whatever it is you got to do, if you got to put that into your model now and build it, start writing it, start building that foundation, start writing it out for yourself, because it won't start until you do. That's guaranteed. So if you really want to do it, you got to step onto the path, and it can be small steps. By the way, nobody ran up to the top of the mountain. We all took steps and stumbled our way. So it's a long journey. Begin now.
Yeah. All of those excuses, whatever the reason is, you're not doing the thing. And every time I say that in front of an audience, there's one thing you're supposed to be doing right now in your business and you're not doing it. Why? And everyone knows exactly what that thing is when I say that. Yeah. You have it. I have it. We all have it. Fear. That's why.
Fear. Yeah. But what's on the other side of that fear, right? Let's take a look at that. What is that fear representing? For each of it could be something different. Fear of success, failure, financial reward. I don't have enough training. I don't have enough people. I don't have skill sets. I don't have time. You name it. Fill in all of those little blanks. It's nothing but your future self in doubt of whether or not you're going to get there. And it's just placing these little things, because our brains work. As humans, we love to tell stories, right? We love stories, a beginning, a middle, and an end. And as entrepreneurs, we're always rewriting new stories for ourselves. But the end is always open, right? So our brain wants to fill that in with all these little doubts, all these what-if scenarios. Well, if you get good at dialoguing with your future self, if you get good at negotiating with your future self about what's possible and just creating strategies on how to get there, fewer and fewer and fewer and fewer of those become fear-based ideas about success and about getting there. And more of it becomes, those kind of aha moments where you're led to an idea, a thought, or something new about yourself to get there. You discover along the way and you realize more and more. And you build in self-integrity. You build self-knowledge about that and trust in your own decision-making processes so that when you get to a place where there is a bigger leap, you go, you know what? We've done this before, you and I. We've been down this road. I've never led you down the wrong path. And we've actually had good success. So we're going to take this challenge on and we're going to do it. And it's going to be fine. And even if we don't, even if we fall, guess what? We're going to learn something from this. We're going to turn around. We're going to use that as a new piece of a tool in our arsenal. So I think that's a difference in that mindset, right? About how to approach it.
Yeah. The only way to fail is to quit, right? So.
Yeah, that's true.
We could go on for another. We need to have another show. I need to come on your show. We need to do it again. But how can people find you?
MichaelDeVoodJr.com or TheFearlessRoad.com. Either one of those, you can find all of my stuff, my socials and everything on both of those, both motivational speaking consulting and the podcast, where we talk about making fear your friend and really examining this journey together.
Amazing. Buddy, I'm so excited for everything you're doing. It is absolutely what the world needs. And I just want to thank you for coming on.
Thank you, man. I really appreciate this. And I really appreciate your patience and time with me. You know, it's been a struggle those past couple of weeks, but you've been wonderful. And we will have to get to that personality quiz at some point too, so we can talk a little bit more about that. I'll have to take another one to see if I'm still resonating with the peaceful warrior.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Thanks, brother.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. Be blessed. Be well.
I hope you enjoyed the episode today on the Million Dollar Flip Flop Podcast. Make sure to hit subscribe on your chosen platform that you listen on. If this episode make you think of someone, go ahead, take a screenshot, and share this episode with them. or post it on your social media to share with your friends. You can catch the show notes for this episode and any mentioned links in the description of this episode. If you want to see more behind the scenes with Roderick and his guests, be sure to find them on Instagram. It's also where we can have deeper conversations on these episodes. Go to www.instagram.com/milliondollarflipflops. Until next time.